Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We're doing just a quick player spotlight. Name came up in the Analytics Dynasty group me chat. Figured I'd do a little dive in. And I'd done some research here on a Football Guys article, so figured I'd preview it. It's Ezekiel Elliott. And Zeke's pretty interesting in terms of where he's at. Basically, five top 12 seasonal finishes to start his career. And you'd think, okay, like that's excellent. We're in really good shape. 2019 was good. 2020 disappointment. Again, still top 12, but career low in rushing yards, 979. Career low in yards per attempt, 4.0, and tied for the fewest rushing touchdowns of his career at 6. So you look at that and you say, wow, that's kind of troubling. And then honestly, you sort of look down and some of the other stuff's not great either. You see snap share basically throughout his career, 67%. That was year one, that was his rookie season, 55% in year two. That's when he missed six games with suspension, 83% in 15 games in 2018, 84% in 16 games in 2019. And 69% this past year. So you do see a little bit of that uptick there from Tony Pollard, basically, you know, about just a little less than a third of the offense is running through someone other than Zeke at the running back position. Again, it's not a huge difference, but when you sort of look in, when you're looking at ranges of outcomes, I think it definitely caps some of the ceiling. I will say, there's a couple of things that went on with some of his production last year. I do think in some respects, and what his downtick in yards per carry, which I think you'll see a lot of that analysis. Hey, look, it's amongst the worst fantasy analysis you'll find, the yards per carry stuff. But when you sort of look further, right, when you take a third and fourth level look at it, there's some stuff there that we could sort of take in two different lenses. Hey, this is kind of a good sign for him, or hey, this is kind of a bad sign for him. Beyond just the hey, this was his worst year in terms of yards per attempt. So next gen stats at NFL.com has stats basically, and I've talked about them before, but I'll lay it out here. Expected yards per attempt. They have yards over expectation, and then they have basically your yards per attempt. So yards over expectation is basically a measure of the distance of how close people are to you. Essentially, it's an algorithm, but it's determined by things other than you. Your expected yards is determined by things other than you. So it's determined by defensive alignment, it's determined by blocking, it's determined by all that stuff, basically once you get the ball. And then your yards over expectation is basically what you do beyond what you're expected to do, right? So if you're not good, right, you could be in the negatives, you could be below expectation, or you could be in the positives. And so you sort of see, some different, it's a different way to measure running backs. And I like it as a way that it's pretty independent, it's pretty neutral, and honestly, there's some contrarian stuff there. You know, where you look at a couple guys where it's pretty clear, they're from a metrics basis, they're on paper, on yards per attempt, they look pretty close. But when you sort of break them down, player A is basically getting less than what is blocked, and player B is getting pretty bad blocking job by his offensive line or by his scheme or whatever, and outperforming it. But at a surface level, you're like, oh, they both are bad at yards per carry. Well, one's really underperforming and not playing well. The other one is kicking butt against his situation. So I do think these things are really, when you sort of break that down and get to that, I think that's really impactful. So where's Zeke at in all this? Well, Zeke, I think, so it's a three-year trend. So next gen has stats going back to 2018. So 2018, he was 4.17 expected yards per attempt. That's 29th among qualifiers. Usually there's about 50, 55, between 50 and 60 qualifiers. So you can think that's right about in the middle is about what 29 is. In 2019, he was 4.09 expected yards per attempt. Again, that's 26th amongst qualifiers. And then in 2020, he was 3.93, which is 42nd among qualifiers. Again, I think in 2020, off the top of my head, I believe there was 55 qualifiers. So in qualifiers, you have to have a certain amount of touches to qualify in the stat. And it's all running backs typically. So that's basically, so it's been essentially a 0.2 of a yard drop over the past 2 years. So you could sort of bake that. You could say, all right, well, that's some of his drop. His career number is 4.5 yards per attempt, and there's basically 0.2 of it. Well, let's look at the other side. 2018, he was 5.3 yards over expectation at 17th. Very good. In 2019, 0.41 yards over expectation. That's 18th among qualifiers. So again, that's very good. 2020, 0.07 yards over expectation. That's 38th. So you've got a couple of things going on. You've got basically a drop in his situation, and you got a drop in his performance. All right, so those are two things you can say are sort of heading in the wrong direction. Now, which player is it? You know, which player is the actual guy? I do think with Zeke, it's an interesting case because I'm going to bet on his priors before 2020. This isn't a spot where we're typically going to see a really steep decline at 25 years old. It's sort of the prime. I know he's getting up there in terms of, you know, games played and all that stuff, but this doesn't look like a steep decline situation. One thing I think we're probably not giving enough credit to, and one thing I think that in 5 years we might know about expected yards yards over expectation and that performance, I think there's probably some aspect of quarterback mobility to that stat, right? So, and that's probably something we just don't know yet. But I think ultimately when we sort of look at it, we can come back and maybe 5 years we'll understand yards over expectation isn't entirely based on running back play, that it's actually what the computer and what the tracking data actually picks up is not at that point influenced by, it's not totally, that's basically not the end of it, right? That there is some threat to, once it's handed off, of that indecision where you have a mobile quarterback, there's, you know, what fractional delays. It could be, you know, it could be he could be holding out of the ball. It could be a zone read situation where, you know, if Andy Dalton's doing it, we're sort of committing, you know, we're just kind of selling out to stop the run. Whereas if it's Dak, a little slow to commit to the run, right? We see that on tape. I think there's reason to believe that might be something that later on we know a little bit more about expected yards per attempt and, you know, yards over expectation, and we can sort of attribute that to other things. So I think that's, there hasn't been enough study on it yet. There's not enough data on it to say, but I do think that we could, that's something we should probably be thinking about and not necessarily rule out at this point. So the loss of Dak, I think, certainly has some influence in that number, would sort of be my thought. The other thing that I think is worth noting and worth pointing out is that Zeke did have COVID. And so he had COVID over the summer, and we've seen this. We've seen guys not talk about it. We've seen guys be fine. We've seen guys be non-symptomatic. From what we know with Zeke, it looks like it actually had a toll on. It took a toll on him. And you know, we've seen it with other guys. Right? We've seen it with Jason Tatum in the NBA. I think Mo Bamba in the NBA as well. You know, we saw it with Rykel Armstead. It shouldn't affect. It's a low percentage, I guess, of having long-term impacts on really high-end athletes. But again, that's something that we could sort of point to and say there's probably some impact to that, his performance as well. So that's sort of summing it up again, is he's got a little bit less to play for. They weren't good. All of those things, you know, probably a smorgasbord of reasons why he performed less well in 2020. So I think that is he a fair weather runner? Is he all of those things, right? Is he a fair weather player? All those things I think you could sort of point to, and if Dak's back rolling, you know, I think you could see a whole different Zeke next year. I think it lifts all boats. So that's, you know, I'm sort of in the middle on it. So when Football Guys has him, you know, it's a he's a 4.5 yards per attempt guy on his career, which is good. Football Guys has him at 4.3. So I think, you know, that's basically cutting the middle on what he was last year versus what his career. I think that's a fine and appropriate thing to do. I'm not sure that was necessarily a conscious decision, but it's a consensus averaging over what everyone put together. I think that's a good estimate. So I do think that there's reasons to believe that he could overperform that based on everything I said. You know, if you get better line play, if he plays a little bit better all the time, all of a sudden you're back to career averages, and yeah, it's pretty good at that point. So that's really the thing I would say about Zeke. I think there's reasons to be optimistic about potentially regaining some of that ceiling. One other thing I looked at with Zeke was his touchdown scoring. So again, worst touchdown performance of his career, tied for his worst, was 6 rushing touchdowns. He led the league in attempts inside the 5-yard line, 22, but managed 7 yards and scored 5 touchdowns. So, which is about the leader had 9. So, again, you can point to that and say, hey, maybe that's some of that's offensive line play. That's some of that's probably bad variance. Again, some of that's probably a Dak Prescott thing, right? That there's some threat to Dak Prescott holding his own read down there. There's some threat to Dak Prescott bootlegging down there. There's some threat to Dak Prescott, them respecting his mobility a little bit more. So instead of, you know, 7 guys in the box or 8 guys in the box, there's 6.5 or there's 6 on average, you know, that you have those sorts of things. That is a non-trivial factor in that, would sort of be my thought. The big concern, I think, to me, is how big of a role is Pollard going to have? And so Pollard, like I said, about just over a third of the snaps went to another player. And basically the last time we've seen that was Zeke's rookie season. So I think we have to keep that in mind. Again, was he suffering some of the after effects of COVID, and that sort of is the reason for Pollard's play? Is it Pollard carving out a niche, right? I think all of those things are totally possible. All of that boils down to say that when I sort of look at his profile, it's pretty amazing, because Football Guys projects him as running back 5, or top 5 running back stats. Yeah, you know, we'll sort of see what would be a top 5 finish last year, I should say, and pretty comfortably. So we do have to factor in another game and all that stuff, but he would have finished top 5, and I believe based on, you know, even if he gave everyone an extra game last year, he still would have been top 5 with his production this year. And I don't think it's overly aggressive in terms of any of the efficiency metrics. Zeke is just a high-volume player. It's going to create a pretty high-floor situation. We've seen 5 straight top 12 seasonal finishes. That's kind of who Zeke is. Assuming no injuries, it's going to be that 18-20 touches, and you're feeling pretty good about it. Question is the ceiling stuff. You know, we've seen him have a little bit bigger role in the passing game, and some of that stuff can come back with the rushing efficiency that can capture some ceiling, and some of that stuff in the red zone, if that corrects itself, you could see some ceiling. I think the floor is pretty solid, right? And that's the thing that I think people are probably getting a little too cute right now, docking him in Dynasty, and that would be kind of my big take on him. So our consensus projection basically has him for, basically has him for 1,200 yards, essentially, over 17 games. So you feel pretty good about that. I think it's a pretty high floor situation, ultimately. When looking down the line, you know, I've got him in at least a 2-year window here, contractually. Feel pretty good about that. He's going running back 13 is his median, 403 in startup drafts, post-NFL draft. That is in the range of Aaron Jones, Antonio Gibson, Joe Mixon's right there as well. Mixon's up a little bit. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is in that range as well. They're basically going essentially in like a 4-5 pick range those five guys there. I think of those, I think Zeke's the best bet. You could sort of talk me into taking Clyde Edwards-Helaire as a longer safety play. You could pitch me on that idea. I think the two best bets in that range are Edwards-Helaire and Zeke. And I could, you know, if push came to shove, depending on my initial team direction, I could see going Edwards-Helaire over Zeke. I was writing something recently, it'll probably be another podcast, but I was writing something recently about sort of how you would, you know, pull off the Kyle Pitts early selection versus the Zeke early, or versus the Kelce early selection. Like, if you were to go tight end in round two, basically the consequences of doing that. I think this is a classic example of it, right? You take Clyde Edwards-Helaire and you stack him with Pitts. You take Kelce and you run him back with Zeke, right? That's kind of the two distinctions there. That's more of a roster construction thing than anything. I think that both those guys are pretty close. I think Zeke's probably got higher ceiling, but I think that's fair. And, you know, they're going behind guys like Dobbins, of course, which is interesting. You know, I would have both of those guys over Dobbins, for example. You know, Najee Harris is going ahead of both of those guys. I'd probably slide that back a little bit. Akers. It's actually interesting, the guys in that range. I don't see that much of a difference versus some of the guys going ahead of them. And you look at Nick Chubb. I don't know. Nick Chubb's going a round plus ahead of Zeke, but basically a round ahead of Zeke, you know, five running backs ahead. I'm not sure I see that gap there, right? So I think that's a classic case of you kind of wait out the second round, you know, do something else there, whether it's trade out, trade down, you know, move it around, whatever. I think that's a classic, you know, get to that kind of spot for Zeke, and I think that's a pretty good arb on the rest of the position. When you look at some of the trades, some of them are interesting here. I mean, Zeke for Evans, straight up, that's, you know, I think you could sort of make an interesting case for either one of those sides. Zeke and Drew Sample for David Johnson, Mike Evans, and a first. So that's basically, you sort of take that out a little bit. It is a two tight end league. Sort of back that out just a fraction, and you think, okay, it's that's compared to the earlier trade is actually Drew Sample for David Johnson, a future first. So definitely like that David Johnson, Mike Evans in first side there, especially in two tight end super flex. It's a pretty nice pick there going forward. Some other ones here. Zeke in a second for Swift and a third. So that's valuing Swift ahead of Zeke. I think that's an interesting one. You know, if I were to sort of try to make the pivot in that range, it would be Swift for Zeke in a future first. Try and figure out a way to hunt that future first in that deal. Zeke for Aaron Rodgers straight up. Tyreek Hill for Zeke and Laviska Shenault. Yeah, I think those are largely roster construction plays. I think in a vacuum, I'd probably rather have Hill and Rodgers. But I could sort of see how they trade for each other. J.K. Dobbins for Zeke and Odell Beckham. You know, I did one of these on Odell Beckham. I kind of wish it was somebody else other than Beckham, but I could see the wisdom in that side of that deal as well. Yeah, just looking some more here. Bunch of Mike Evans deals involving Zeke, which is interesting. Mike Evans and DJ Shark for Zeke, 404, future third and future fourth next year. I mean, it's kind of viewing, it's pretty close to being Zeke for Evans straight up there, you know, given back those picks for Shark. He's probably worth a little bit more than that. So that's interesting. Zeke for 104, basically kind of resetting the clock. If that's Harris or something like that, and you kind of running it back, restarting up, that's an interesting angle. Zeke for 108, a second, future fifth. Seems like a little bit low. Here's one that I kind of like the pivot of, Cam Akers for Zeke in 205. Yeah, I don't necessarily love the 205 angle, but that's kind of the stuff I'd be shooting for. I'd shoot for more than 205 in that deal. But, you know, that's the one where, hey, can you turn a second to a first next year? Something like that. 205 isn't a huge deal. Again, I think I'd probably rather have Zeke than Akers, you know, at a cost spread. I think Akers is probably going too high and Zeke's going too low. I think they're probably much closer. But yeah, I mean, that's one where I think you could probably hunt more. And if push came to shove, I think Zeke, you know, I'd have to really think hard about who I'd want to take first. That's how kind of close I would have them. So that's really the market for him. You know, there's some other things in here. Zeke for basically a couple of future firsts. You know, there's some pick swaps in there as well. It's a 108 this year, so it's a little bit further back. If that's like ETN, that makes some sense. But yeah, so that's it. Zeke and Gesicki for 107. Again, you could take Zeke all day at that spot. Zeke and Pollard for 103. Again, that's maybe a different conversation. That's much different. Here is that Swift for Zeke and 111 deal. So that actually existed and that happened. Zeke for Diggs. But on the flip side of that, Zeke for Baker Mayfield. So you know, you're all over the place. So I do think it warrants consideration on going out and trying to hunt him a little bit. I do. If you told me, you know, if you were to say, hey, what's best case, you know, I think another couple top 12 seasonal finishes firmly in his range of outcomes. I think what's probably going to struggle to maybe capture ultimately is like a running back 1, 2, or 3 finish, just in terms of how his usage is. It's just not like you compare him to Barkley. Barkley just has so much more receiving work. He just can capture higher upside. But yeah, so I like Zeke here, especially as a really, really high floor play. The volume's great and all that stuff. So pretty optimistic about him going forward, especially at a cost like in the teens. It's the cheapest he's ever been. So all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Till next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.